Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. As you're turning there, a retired couple love to travel, and they make their lives interesting one day. To make their lives interesting one day, I should say, they went into a town to do some shopping. When they came out of one of the stores, a cop was writing out a parking ticket. The husband asks, "Sir, can you give a senior citizen a break?" The cop ignored them and just kept writing. His wife then chimed in and called the officer a name. The officer glared, but didn't say a word, and began writing another ticket for the expired inspection sticker. This went back and forth for about 20, 25 minutes. The more insults, the more tickets. But personally, the retired couple didn't care because they came on a bus. It wasn't their car. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about books were opened. Revelation chapter 20, let's start reading right at verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should not deceive the nations any more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him that sat on him, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, a few weeks ago, we referenced this same passage as we looked at the courtroom of Judge Jesus himself. But this morning, I really want to focus on verse 20. "And the books were open." And the first thing I want to do, let's set the backdrop a little bit. Let's set the timeline of events. First, we need to understand that we are absolutely living in the last days. We are in those end time days. There is no other Bible prophecy that needs to be fulfilled in order for Christ to return and gather up or rapture his church out of this earth, to come back and take home his church. He can come at any moment. So the rapture will begin and kick off what's known as the 7-year tribulation period. Now, once the church is removed, once Jesus comes and raptures all the born-again believers, once the church is moved out of the way, the Bible tells us that that will allow Antichrist to come to power. And we need to understand that his power will be a worldwide power. He will reign over the entire world. Now, at the beginning of that 7-year tribulation, right after the rapture, Antichrist will also sign a false peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And guess how long that peace treaty is? 7 years. So that false peace treaty overlaps the 7-year tribulation. And during that time, God's wrath will also be poured out upon the earth for those 7 years. Twofold reason why. First, God will pour out his wrath upon those who have chosen to reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Again, when Jesus comes at the rapture, he's going to gather up all those who gave their heart to Christ, all those who surrendered to him as their Lord and Savior. So those that are left are those who chose to reject him. So that's the first reason. The second reason is because God is also pouring out his wrath upon all those who have come up against his people, the nation of Israel. Again, as I said, Antichrist will sign this false peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And his real true motive is to actually annihilate Israel, is to wipe the Israelites off the face of the earth. So we see that at the end of the 7-year tribulation, Antichrist will gather all the kings of the earth and they will surround Israel and the holy city of Jerusalem. That's what we read here in chapter 20. And that will come, the 7-year tribulation will come to a conclusion with what's known as the Battle of Armageddon. At the valley of Mount Megiddo, there is a great valley. Matter of fact, Alexander the Great, he stood atop Mount Megiddo and he looked down upon that valley and he declared that that was Earth's most natural battlefield. And that is where the 7-year tribulation will come to a conclusion at that Battle of Armageddon, as those nations gather around Israel and believe they're going to annihilate Israel. That's when Jesus comes. That will be his official second coming. And guess who's coming with him? The saints. Amen? All the born-again believers. We will come with Christ. He will obliterate that army. And that's where we pick up here in Revelation chapter 20. We read here that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Then in verse 4, we see that Christ will reign on earth for those 1,000 years. Now that 1,000-year reign of Christ is also known as the millennium or the millennial reign of Christ. Now, I want you to note there, who will reign with Christ for those 1,000 years? The saints. We will come back with Christ. Remember, the Bible says when we die in Christ, we will ever be with him, ever present with our Lord. That means we will never be separated from him ever again. So once Jesus comes back at the rapture, he gathers us up. We will be with him for eternity. Where he goes, we will be with him. When he comes at the end of the tribulation period at the Battle of Armageddon, we will be with him. When he reigns in Jerusalem for those 1,000 years, we will reign with him. Amen? Praise God for that. Now, once those 1,000 years are up, we read here that Satan will be released. And Satan does what Satan does, and that's go about and deceive mankind once again. It says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. He will gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up around the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem. And that's when fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, Antichrist, and his false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then in verse 11, we're introduced to the great white throne. Then I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them anywhere. The Great White Throne Judgment. Again, this judgment is reserved for only those who are unsaved. Those who are unsaved. And I want to go back to verses 5 and 6 real quick. In verse 5 it says, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We need to understand that every single person who chose to reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will stand before this great white throne judgment. Now, I want you to make sure you pay attention here. The great white throne judgment happens how far? After the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That means those who are unsaved have already spent 1,000 years in hell in torments. And that's just the beginning, because now they are resurrected from hell. They were brought up to stand before the great white throne judgment to receive their final judgment. 1,000 years of punishment and torment. And that's just the beginning. I've said it over the past few weeks a lot, and I'm going to say it again. We need to understand that every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. Amen? Every knee. It's either going to bow in one of two ways. Either in sweet surrender on this side of eternity as Jesus, our Lord and Savior, or on the other side of eternity at the great white throne, He as their judge, and cast them in hell for eternity. Either way, every knee will bow. And Jesus is pleading for us to bow the knee on this side of eternity. That is His heart's desire. Amen? Need to understand that. So that's the backdrop. Now, let's look into the books. I want to get into the meat of this message in verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." So what are these books? What is the book of life that we see here? Well, let's start with the books, plural. Okay, we see here that God references books. So I want to look at the first book that we see in God's Word, or reference in God's Word, is the book of conscience. Now, we think of how the word conscience is constructed. It's made up of the preparticipe con. Con means with. And science, the word science literally means knowledge. So when we think of conscience, that means with knowledge. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." That's speaking of the conscience that God has given every one of us the moment we were created. We are all born with a conscience, with knowledge of who? Of Almighty God. Amen? Romans chapter 2, verse 15. "Who will show the work of the law written" where? "In their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." So we see here that God has created us with a conscience, a moral awareness of right and wrong. Amen? Every single person is born with a conscience, with that moral awareness of right and wrong. It's that feeling of guilt every time we sin. Even before we were a Christian. You know, we were growing up. When we did something wrong, what happened? You knew it, didn't you? You had a feeling of guilt. That's our conscience. God has created us with a conscience, with a standard of right and wrong, and our conscience is recorded, the Bible tells us, and it will bear witness against us, those that are unsaved, when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they will stand before the great white throne judgment. So the Bible says here that their conscience will be recorded and will be used against them at the great white throne judgment. Book number two. That is the book of words. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36. Jesus speaking, he says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." God makes it very clear that he will keep a record of every single idle word that we speak, even those that we speak in secret. Amen? Book of words. Third book. The book of deeds. Romans chapter 2. Skipping down to verse 5. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his" what? "To his deeds." So there is a book of deeds. Now, we'll also, as we study the Word of God, you're going to see that God actually splits that book up into two parts. We have public deeds. Psalm 139 Psalm. Verses 16. "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days that were fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." All the days of our life are recorded in the God's book of public deeds. Then we see in Revelation chapter 20, where we're at, in verse 12, as we read, says, all the unsaved, in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their" what? "Their works," their public deeds, the things that they did, unsaved. Then we also see that God will keep a record of our private deeds. Romans chapter 2. Skipping down to verse 16. "In that day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." So we see that God keeps a record of public works as well as our private deeds. Ecclesiastes 12:14. I apologize for going fast through these scriptures, but there's a lot of scriptures referenced today. "For God will bring," Ecclesiastes 12:14, "for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Amen? So we will be judged out of the book of deeds if we did not receive Jesus Christ as our public or as our precious Savior. See, we can hide our sins from one another, but we cannot hide our sins from Holy God. Amen? He sees, he hears, he knows all things, even the thoughts and intents of our heart. Amen? He even knows the motives, the hatred, even before we commit it. Jesus said if we hate our brother, then we've already committed what? Murder in our hearts. Book of Deeds. Fourth book is the book of creation. Book of creation. Romans chapter 1. Starting at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Again, that's talking about the conscience. But even further, look what it says. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly what? Seen. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. What is it talking about? Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? Well, God is spirit, right? That means he has no physical form. So his invisible attributes, he has instilled where? All around us. In everything that he created, we can see the hand of God. Amen? Creation declares God's existence himself. And that's what God is talking about here. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their body among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Again, God addressing the sin of homosexuality here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Bottom line is verse 20, where God says they are without excuse. The very creation of God. The fact that God has created us with a conscience of right and wrong. God says with all that evidence all around them, there will be no excuse at judgment day. Fifth book is the book of remembrance. The book of remembrance. We see this referenced in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and he heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. A book of remembrance. God will remember all those who have a healthy, reverent fear of him. Amen. Book of remembrance. The sixth book. This is a book that we are all aware of. This is the book. Amen. The book of God's word, the Bible itself. John chapter 12. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my what? My words. Amen. This is the word of who? Word of God. Jesus says, whoever rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. What is the that he's talking about? His very words. That we have the word of God that will absolutely judge us. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We need to understand that we have the words of life and death at our fingertips at any time we want it. Amen? The very word of God. Plain and simple. That's six books. One more to go. The book of life. The Lamb's book of life. Now, I want you to notice that there are seven books. What does the number seven represent? Completeness. This is God's complete record of mankind. So that on judgment day, by our own deeds, by our own words, by everything, every sin that we've ever committed, if we fail to choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all those things have been recorded and they will be presented as evidence against us before the great white throne. Now, other than the Bible itself, the book of life or the Lamb's book of life is the most referenced book in all of Scripture. Now, a lot of people also believe it's only referenced in the New Testament. That's not true. It's also referenced in the Old Testament. First reference is all the way back in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 30. Now, to kind of set the backdrop of Exodus chapter 30, Moses had been called up to the top of Mount Sinai to receive God's law. And he was gone for quite a while, and what happened? The children of Israel got a little antsy. Their sinful nature took over, and they demanded that an idol be made. So Aaron made them, had them all pitch in all the gold, and he threw it in the fire, and what appeared? A golden calf. And that's the backdrop to what we're about to read in verse 30. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin, and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." First mention of the book of life. Psalm chapter 69. Skipping down to verse 26. "For they persecute the ones you have struck, and talk of the grief of those you have wounded, and iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous." You see, David in the Psalms referencing the book of living. We also see it in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Daniel the prophet, chapter 12, verse 1. "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince, the great angel who stands watch over the sons of your people, the nation Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even so to this time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book." Now we move to the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in verse 3. He said, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Did you catch that? It's an immediate possession. Paul was referencing fellow co-laborers whose names were already where? Recorded in the book of life. Amen? Now, Revelation chapter 13. Skipping down to verse 7. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints. Him is Antichrist. It was granted to Antichrist to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. God says that quite a bit in the book of Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear. Why does he say that? Because most of us hear, but we rarely listen. Amen? Husbands, we're guilty of that a little bit, aren't we? We've been accused of that a time or two. That we hear, but we just don't listen. God here is talking about our spiritual ears, even worse, that we don't listen to His voice. We hear, you know, we hear things talked about in the Bible. We hear the sermons preached. We hear the things taught in Sunday school or in Bible study. But do we truly listen to what's being said? We also need to pay attention that God made how many ears? How many mouths? There's got to be a parable there somewhere, amen? Plain and simple. He who has an ear, let him hear. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 8. The beast, talking about Antichrist. The beast, the Antichrist that you saw, was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. And we also see a reference in Revelation chapter 3. Verse 5. Jesus says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So I want to clarify something here, and this kind of, you know, ties it together. There's been a lot of debate, and many Bible scholars and Christians have claimed that there are actually two separate books. That there's the book of life, and then there's the Lamb's book of life, and that they're two separate books. But if you look here and you understand what God is saying here, you're going to see that from the beginning of time, God has recorded the names of every single person that has ever been born upon the face of this earth, and they are recorded in the book of what? The book of life. Amen? The book of life. And if we die unsaved, those who fail and choose to reject Jesus Christ as their Savior, then their name is what? It's blotted out of the book of life. Just what we read here, Jesus said, "He who overcomes, he will be clothed in white garments." That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. And he says, "And I will not blot out his name from the book of life." Jesus is the one that redeemed us. He is the one in whom all judgment is placed. It's he that has earned possession of that book of life. Amen? In Revelation chapter 5, when John received the revelation of Jesus Christ, there was a scroll, and it had a seal on it. And all heaven was beside itself because they said, who is worthy to open the seal? And they searched heaven and earth below and above and everywhere else. And there was only one found. And who was it? Jesus Christ himself. He was the only one worthy. And since the only names that are left written in the book of life, that book receives his title because he is the one worthy of its possession, and it is referred to as the Lamb's Book of Life after the great white throne judgment. Because all that's left are those whose names, the ones that have trusted in him as their Lord and Savior. Amen? We understand that. We see how God is working here. So throughout eternity, it will be referred to as the Lamb's Book of Life at that point moving forward. Now back to Revelation chapter 3 in verse 5. Now pay attention to that language we read. And Jesus said, and I will not blot out his name from the Book of Life. Blot out here is not a negative, is it? It's a positive. It's not a threat, it's a promise of assurance. It's our eternal security. Jesus says, whoever overcomes, whoever trusts in me as Lord and Savior, they will receive my righteousness, they will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. That's an assurance, an eternal assurance. I want to wrap things up, skipping down to verse 11 here. Behold, Jesus said, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Friend, the eternal question is, do you have a new name written down in glory? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Mm-hmm.